Welcome to Ye Old Beer Show.
CBR. Welcome to CBR.
Classic.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, because Shannon's in Florida right now, so we're doing the show without her, and it's going to be... Well, no, it's not going to be like old times, because we're drinking a daiquiri right now.
Yes. We are starting with... Oh, by the way, I know that the Y in ye is really thorn, and it's the... You don't have to... Huh? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is what I... When I was at Cape Cod, this is kind of the cocktail that was my go-to.
Okay.
Because it's easy to get, because you have to fill up everything, right? You have to buy all the stuff. So This is just, you have to buy one ingredient, basically, and plus the limes. And it's such a classic. It's a true classic. This is a daiquiri. This is just rum, sugar, and lime. And let's see if it works.
I've noticed you really like citrus-based drinks. You're always making things with limes and lemons and stuff.
I have really fallen under that spell, yeah, I guess. I think that it's not that the all-alcohol cocktails don't work.
Mm.
It's just that there's something fresher to me about giving those, that extra liveliness that comes from the fresh juice.
We should go to Hidden Harbor and get some tiki drinks.
Yeah, so this is not a daiquiri that you'd find on, the frozen whatever.
Menus at Applebee's.
This is just a pure classic daiquiri. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty classic combination. It's hard to go wrong.
Lime juice, a little bit of rum flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the white rum that I have here is just, what does that say?
It's just Bacardi.
Yeah, Bacardi. So... It's not bringing too much more than your base rum flavors. Mm-hmm. I do have the Hidden Harbor up there. I hate to use that in cocktails, but, we can. If the cocktail showcases rum, then it's time to use it, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And so that's what that's for. But I usually have, Maggie's white rum. But apparently we're out. So I have a lot of other rums that aren't white, but...
Yeah, I think that the Demerara sugar, which you made the syrup with, adds a little different of a touch to it, which is nice.
Yeah, I get the big bags of sugar in the raw at Sam's Club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like the best, most economical way to make a decent, simple syrup. Otherwise, you're paying a lot more for, cane sugar or what's the other one? So I think this is actually turbinado sugar, and Demerara is similar, but I think it's lighter.
Yeah, I don't know the difference. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, simple syrup with beet sugar is a no-go. So. All right. Yeah, so we have the daiquiri. We have some other beers tonight. Our first beer, we're not getting onto it just yet, but this is from Coastar, our new local brewery. They just put out their Oktoberfest yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So look, it was canned on 8/28.
Wow.
So we'll have one of those. That'll be our first true beer coming into the show.
Yeah, so we're doing this on the 30th, and so, 2 days from canning. Hopefully it hasn't gone bad since then.
No, I mean, I had the other three last night. I was over at a friend's house, and they were 4 minutes from CoStar. So I went there, and there was this Guatemalan food truck. And so I had this, pork sausage. It wasn't like a Cuban, but of my vocabulary, it was most like a Cuban because it was on that kind of bread. It had mustard on it. It had pork, But it was a pork sausage that was, Guatemalan kind of seasoning. So it wasn't like chorizo or anything. And it had cabbage, pickled cabbage on it. And I forget what the sauces were.
But pretty classic, hard to go wrong with a sandwich like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially with that bread. When you do that kind of Cuban bread or whatnot.
Did panini press?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just so good. But then, so I had an Oktoberfest there. Then I had two Stanges of Kolsch. And actually, I like that better than the Oktoberfest. It was really good. So good job, CoStar. Keep it up.
All right, CoStar. We'll be looking towards you. We're still on the daiquiri.
Yep.
So yeah, I think I talked about how the Cape went. And yeah, this was just my go-to drink because it was easy. And didn't have to have... You know, I brought some Campari, but I didn't have... Brought some gin, too, but I didn't have any vermouth. So that made Negronis hard. Mm-hmm. And didn't want to go and get... I mean, there's plenty of places to buy alcohol. It wasn't like there was... It wasn't like it was unavailable. It was just like, well, what am I... How am I going to buy this stuff and then, like, leave most of it here?
Yeah. Yeah, vacation's weird that way, right? Like, if you're everyone's flying in, mm-hmm. you have to basically shop from scratch. It costs so much to stock up the cottage or whatever, so...
Yeah. I'm able to bring some stuff up from my sister's because it's only, like, an hour and a half drive, but it's still, it's... Mm-hmm. You have to think, like, what is she going to use, or is it just going to be stuff that... gets left,
right?
You know, for a year. I mean, alcohol doesn't go bad over a couple of years, but some groceries do, and so you still have to.
Yeah, like the vermouths. If they're not going to make any vermouth-based drinks, so yeah, you know that has to. You're just going to throw that out. So,
and you can keep it in the fridge for a long time, and it should be fine. But,
mm-hmm. but then you're tying up your sister's fridge.
For, yeah, yeah.
51 weeks a year.
Hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. So easy to make.
Yep. Okay, let's see. What have I been doing? Shannon's out of town. I got the electrical work done in the camper, and I needed to drain the tanks. The toilet tank, you know, they call it the black tank.
Oh.
Because when we got done with our last trip, we went to the truck stop near the campground and drained the tanks. Except we're total newbies, and there wasn't enough in the tank to effectively drain the tank.
I see.
So, like, a turd came out. Like, that's it, you know? Like, so, like...
Can't you just pour water into the tank?
Well, I didn't... Again, a newbie, so I didn't think of filling up the tank before I flushed it. Mm. So, once we got home, I put a bunch of water in it, and I just needed to... Like, it's been sitting. I need to dump it. It's so stupid. I live in this, like, dump dead zone. Like, I had to drive 45 minutes to the closest park that has like a dump station.
Mm.
There's
you can't just do like in what was it, Christmas Vacation? Shitter's full.
Put it in the storm drain. No. If I had like access to my sewer pipe, like if I had a stack vent like mm-hmm. nearby, I could. And again, if like the level of the driveway or if it worked out, you could run it down there. But this house doesn't even have a stack vent. Like, I don't even know where the sewer drain is. It's probably in this corner. It's probably 15 feet down. You know, it's... I mean, there is a drain in the garage that goes into the sewer, but not really. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to run poop down that. So I went and, like, well, if I'm going to go 45 minutes out and pay to use the dump station, maybe I should just camp there.
Mm.
So I spent two nights there. I worked one day there. I was going to work a second day, but then it was a day it was going to be like 93 degrees. And it's like, that's stupid. I'm just going to come home and work here.
Yeah. An interesting thing in Cape Cod is that it's not a sewer system. They're all septic tanks because they're too low.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, if sewers break and it gets in everywhere, and that's not good. So when you're renting a place, that doesn't really matter that much, except the big thing you notice is there's no garbage disposals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. So things get pretty gross. I just have to deal with it and scoop up the gook and...
Oh, in the sink, yeah.
Yeah.
So then the story gets, you know, so I went out there, I spent 2 days. It's the closest dump station. So I go to dump it, and then, like, the rinse hose there has this old-timey, like, angled thing on, like, when you used to be able, like, to rinse it from the top or something. And I'm like, I need to thread it on a hose to put it into the rinser. And I'm like, I can't rinse this thing. And I left, and I came home, and I watched more YouTube on how to RV, like, on how to black tank maintenance, which is, like, the worst part of RVing, and, like, the overwhelming part, because like You don't want to get poo. Like, you don't want to have a poo nightmare.
Yes.
Either way, get it on you, get it clogged, whatever. You just don't want a poo nightmare. And it turns out
good title for this show, by the way, Poo Nightmare.
Poo Nightmare. I'm trying to remember that.
Or Poo Nightmare, parentheses, you don't want it.
Right. And I get home, and guy's like, you know, like, the first one I watch is like, some of them have these things on it. They unscrew. Like, but I couldn't see that it unscrewed because they had like a tennis ball, like a dog ball, like over the bottom of it to keep things from sliding in too far or something like that. And I'm guessing that ball was over where I could see the threads were. So I didn't know it was threaded. I thought it was just, you know, permanent, you know, crimped on. So I still haven't rinsed the tag, right? And now it's like, do I go back out? And actually, Shannon and I are probably leaving for a trip on like Thursday. So we'll just... First night, we'll fill up with a bunch of water and rinse it in.
She's really doing a lot of traveling, huh?
Got the camper. Got to get her money's worth out of it.
That's true.
All right. This is the CoStar Oktoberfest. First time they've made it. Came out yesterday.
Wow. So the initial aroma I was getting was corn, which is weird, right? Because looking at this, it's a 5.2% Oktoberfest, traditional marks and style.
I mean, I don't get corn. I mean, but I do notice, like, it's not as bread crusty as you might expect, right? So the malt's a little cleaner. So if you're expecting, like, this big old rustic crust aroma and it's not there, I can see where, like, your nose would get led astray.
I mean, I just was going with what my nose was telling me. It was well, only corn. If I dig deeper into it, though, I get the biscuit. But I have to, like, think about it. I have to prime my brain.
Sure. I mean, that's like when you said corn, my tangent was, I could see how, because it's lacking a certain aspect, like, your nose slips out from under you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without context, your brain just goes for what it...
Yeah, makes a pattern. Yeah, I need a pattern. Yeah. Find me a pattern. Oh, corn, close enough. Let's go with it. Yeah, so it is less like rustic crusty, but there is a biscuitiness there. To me, it is a lighter in the range of Oktoberfest. It has a lighter malt aroma to it than most, but it is there.
Color is not super dark, but, you know, not like golden. It's a
deep gold orange.
Amberish, yeah. Amber. Closing in on amber with gold tinge.
Flavor. The body is medium full, I would say. Very smooth. Like, it kind of has this kind of coating character in a bready way, a malty coating character. Usually don't say coating with, usually say it with alcohol or with like roast or something, but I'm going with it because that's what my tongue felt. It has a really satisfying like finish and like aftertaste. Like, the malt just keeps on filling there.
It's a little, it's odd for me. Maybe it's just after the daiquiri that my brain is doing this. Because it feels like uncooked floury
a bit. Okay, give it a few sips.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
I mean, we had to do liquor before beer, so we were in the clear. So, I mean.
I mean, I get a lot, there's definitely a lot of breadiness here.
And then, so I was by myself camping, right? And everything was fine until we got back to the house. And, like, I was really worried about, like, tying up the street, trying to back the trailer into the driveway. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard to tell, like, how far back the back of the trailer is in relationship to the driveway without a spotter. So I'm like, I think the backyard's big enough that I can pull in and turn around or something, right? I pull in and realize as soon as I try to make a turn, it's not big enough. No, not even close. I was finally able to get the trailer kind of backed perpendicular to the driveway, but I couldn't get the truck around. I had to unhitch the truck. I had to pull the truck out and come back at the trailer from a different angle and hitch it back up to get it pulled into the parking spot. So, no, the backyard is not big enough. And again, oh, and then Shannon was getting alerts on the Ring doorbell system. So she was watching me on the security camera, like, do all these like 1,000 backups and pull forwards.
Did you like record it? And Make a gif out of it.
It threatens my masculinity. Well, I can tell the story. I don't want the video to exist.
I mean, I say let your embarrassments happen because, look, I don't want to be like Trump and be like, I don't do anything wrong ever, and everything I do is amazing, and how dare you, like, even imply that something I did was not the exact right 100% solution. That's not me. I don't think that's you either.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe I'm sensitive. Like, I'm new to this whole trailer backing up thing, but, like, I'm proud with how far I got.
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing was, like, it was just, like, I still think it was a better result than, because I could have tied up the road for, like, 10 minutes, you know, so. Mm-hmm. So what I
ended up... And you learned something for next time.
What I ended up doing is I ordered a wireless backup camera that I can mount on the back of the trailer.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now I'll have... So the truck has cameras, and it has a trailer backup mode that actually works really well. It takes the two side mirror cameras, and you can kind of see the sides of the trailer when it starts to turn. Like, it works... It's very intuitive the way they set it up.
This is not a Cybertruck, by the way.
No, it's an F-150. But then I was doing some research, and Ford sells a kit for a integrated backup camera for a trailer. So it would go right into the big screen on the dash, and also a tire pressure management system. You know how your car knows the tire pressures?
Mm-hmm.
You can get those for the trailer, too. So I'm like, sweet. And it's like, oh, it's like $750, though. Mm. I'm like, oh, it's going to cost like $400 to do it aftermarket. That integration's worth something. So I start looking into it. I call the dealership. They don't know anything about it. It's not a popular request, sure. Right? So they call. Apparently, they said it wasn't supported on my truck. I'm like, you sure? I got the plug. I'm looking online. People are saying it works. So they were going to order it for me. And then I did some more sleuthing on the internet. And I went underneath and looked at the backside of the plug where the wires go into it. And instead of 12 wires going into it, there's only 2 wires going into it. So, not wired for it.
Mm.
That was heartbreaking. If I would have got the top trim level of the 2021 Ford F-150, it would have had it. If I would have got my trim level of the 2022, it would have had it.
Well, damn. Live and learn.
Yeah.
But you can just get a secondary, like...
They came right before you got here. So, I already hooked up the tire pressure things, and I'll hook up the camera before we go on our next trip. But camera will be nice. It takes away the blind spot of lane changing. So I'll be able to use it for that. But then even if I have a spotter, like getting into the house, like being to see like where the back bumper is in relationship to the driveway, it'll help so much there. So
it'd be awesome if you could also add sonar to it just so you have that extra bit.
Oh, where beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, yeah. And it gives you the green... yellow and red.
The backup camera puts those guidance bars on there, but they're not the smart ones like on your car. They don't turn when you turn the wheel, you know, stuff like that. But you can adjust where they're painted on the screen so they work for you. So you can widen them, you can narrow them, you can move them out like further, you can do stuff like that. So
this is growing on me, this beer, but it's still a little bit sharp. Okay. And I don't know what it is. I wonder if it's a yeast thing. I don't know. It's just there's something that feels like it's like there's a spike in here. Like there's something, you know, like it's not quite right.
I get you. I mean, if I'm looking for it, there is a little bit of a kind of a tinny or irony thing in the middle of your tongue and like the late taste. I was ignoring it. It's not objectionable to me, but now that I looked for it, I can taste it.
Now that you're in analysis mode, and it's like, it's not like, it's not as smooth as you might expect it to be. I think that they got to work on this recipe. It's their first time, you know.
First time production. Yeah. They've been homebrewing for, you know.
Yeah, but who, you know.
All the years.
You got plenty
homebrewers
of.
Homebrewers homebrew.
So again, you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You just do better next time. I just had my my mid-year review.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it was stellar, of course. Like, I've been there 10 years and promoted 5 times. It's not because I'm not good at my job.
Yeah. I just had my mid-year review, and it was mediocre. My boss doesn't appreciate me. So it's like, I feel that I'm being compared to his other direct reports, who are all at a higher level than I am. So, like, if I, like, I feel I should be getting, like, a higher impact because I'm doing that job at a lower level kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And I don't feel that that's being appreciated. It's been 2 years now, in a row now. So I'm a... Part of me is like, okay, fine. I'll just not stress about it, and I won't work hard. You know, like, I like, fine. I mean, the bonus and the stock grants are like, they're not... The money is good. I just feel unappreciated.
You certainly make more money than I do. I'm 100% sure of it. Plus, you get stock options. So, I mean...
Not options. Stock.
Oh, stock. You get just plain out stock.
Yeah, so, they just throw it at you.
So, you're in a better position than I am, 100%. It's just I am... I still, like, I'm still growing. Still... You know, but I'm the
lead. You're at a pretty senior level position for developers.
Yes, but there's always stuff you got to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to jump into more teams. Like, I've been on this team basically for 10 years, and I want to get into other stuff. And that's fine. The movement is finally happening on that. So
that's cool.
It is. So it's really cool to hear that, and you know, it's cool to hear that I'm appreciated and all that. Because I've been doing different things now. Like, you know, I've been coding for nearly 10 years, and the last couple months is not me necessarily coding, but me telling the other people what to code. And so it's a different aspect of being able to explain what to do as opposed to doing it.
Oh, so this is the first time where someone I manage got more bonus in stock than I got.
Oh. Well, I mean, look, I would say look at that as a happy thing.
I guess. Well, not for me.
No.
But.
But, like, it means your management is working well on some level, or this guy is just somehow ignoring you and just excelling beyond your means, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was only, like, incrementally more. Like, it wasn't, like, a thing. But, like, in the past, it's always been. I thought managers got, like, extra whatevers, you know, and like, kind of seeing how the formula cooked up this year. It's like, no, just regular, nothing extra for all the management bullshit.
So, well, you can just do better next time, that's all.
Yeah, or I can just do what I do and just enjoy life.
I mean, that's always an option.
All righty, let's. So I grabbed several things, but I think I grabbed too many Imperial Stouts. So we have 3 Imperial Stouts. One is a walnut cacao marshmallow.
Let's do that one.
But then, okay. But the last lighter beer that I have here is a Saison blended with spontaneously fermented ale.
I want to do the Imperial Stout and then do the Saison.
Okay. All right.
I want to challenge my taste buds.
All right.
This is
Angry Chair's Rocky Road.
Angry Chair, Rocky Road. I'm not going to play the Angry Chair song.
This is a brewery in Tampa. They make these wicked good, like... Wicked good dessert stouts stuff. They do other things, too. But, I mean, you go there, they'll have, like, 8 different Imperial Stouts with candy and shit added to it.
So this is an Imperial Stout at 11%.
No, it smells good.
Okay, the first... It does smell good. The first... I got that marshmallow tang, too, which is great. The first thing I... On Google was a Beer Advocate link, of all things. Remember Beer Advocate?
Yeah, I remember Beer Advocate.
This is a 98. World class on Beer Advocate. Oh. 11% alcohol by volume. Imperial Stout is with cacao nibs, vanilla beans, and toasted walnuts. It's at a solid 11%. That's what that is. The marshmallow thing is walnut and vanilla.
Well, the label says there is marshmallows in here, too.
Well, there's marshmallows. Then I suspect what I'm smelling is marshmallows. But isn't a marshmallow just, like, corn syrup and vanilla and some other things?
I mean, if they're authentic, they have marshmallow in it.
They're never authentic.
Wow, that is tasty.
This is a dark beer before I taste it. This is... That's dark.
Yeah, it's lots of lactose and everything. Just yeah. Dark like my soul. I mean, it tastes like a candy dessert stout. But It is hitting the notes, and it's not cheap. It's not overdoing it. It's
well-balanced. It's... Dare I say it, and I'm just inferring, but I think the walnuts help. That little nuttiness.
The walnuts keep it from being too awesome.
Well, no, they actually, that like walnuts are underappreciated in my mind. They, even because I don't even use them that often, but I know that when they're used, they add a deepness, a richness, an earthiness that counteracts sweetness in a really good way by sort of melding with it. And I think that it's using those very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go with you. I'm not picking out the interaction of the walnuts. I mean, the marshmallow is a huge component here, right? Because it the whole mouth body is just velvety. Like, the whole thing is so smooth. And there's that mallow flavor that comes through. There's cocoa in there as well. It comes across like, you know, like a medium dark chocolate, like only like a 60% cacao kind of thing. So, like, there's still some sweetness there.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not too, like, gritty or bitter or anything from the chocolate.
I feel like I may be, like, fooling myself. And I just don't want to... I wanted to admit that before I, you know, espouse about them. But I do feel like it's there. So, if I'm imagining it or not, I don't know. But
I mean, if you think of like, yeah, I guess if you think of like,
can I see the bottle, the can rather?
Chocolates with walnut in it, or like, you know, this is called Rocky Road, right? So that's what it's inspired by. I can get, especially if I'm thinking like of a Rocky Road ice cream cone, and drinking this, there's some serious similarities in, like, alignment with those two.
They have other nuts in here, too, that they mention on the label. They don't say what nuts, but they say, you know, walnuts is the first ingredient.
Well, no, I think the contains lactose and nuts is a separate warning.
I see.
That's the warning part.
That's interesting because it's part of the description as opposed to...
Well, there's a period.
Yeah, but I didn't see it because... Yeah. I just had a daiquiri, and what was the beer we had before?
The Oktoberfest.
5.4, and then this is 11. And you could feel it kicking in. So,
I just posted the last show today, and I listened to the post show. And you didn't sound too drunk, but I sounded pretty drunk. And I'll let Shannon characterize her own sounding, but...
I guess there were some higher alcohol beers in that.
There was a lot of sours, but we did have darkness and that chocolate cherry beer that wasn't very good, but it was a higher alcohol.
But that was also a long post show, right? That was like 2.5
hours. Oh, no, I'm just talking at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
At the beginning? It seems like Shannon wasn't in the same conversation we were in, and I was trying to correct, like, mansplain correct her, and I felt like an asshole, you know, like, listening to it.
You're drunk. Who cares? Although it is all saved for the records.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all there. So anyway, I was like, oof. Yeah, that's sloppy. Anyway.
I do wonder if in the future, like the far future, like let's say 200 years from now, humanity manages to survive and there's still a technological culture and they're they're analyzing things. They decide, hey, let's take a look at what you know these fellows are doing for the sake of it. And they have, because they have, it's all digital, it's all there. And what they do is they program AIs, because AIs have moved slightly beyond the LLM module.
Could you imagine training LLMs on our show?
So they've moved slightly beyond the LLM system. So they're like, maybe as opposed to the 95% of LLMs, they're more 96%. That's my joke. I don't think that, you know, good AIs are ever going to happen. But, yeah, what would it be like? Because there's a lot that we talk about and we just spew, and I think that you could create decent
replicas of
I don't know about replicas, but like, you know, personality
caricatures.
Yeah, caricatures of a kind, yeah.
Oh my god. We'll be able to do that here in a couple of years. It won't be too hard. I mean, I'm not saying a couple of years is enough to make it, you know, indistinguishable from us.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have the technology to, like, I mean, I was looking at the chapter titles and summaries of from Ophonic for this last show.
Ophonic is the AI that we use to do the if you look at the transcripts, that's all Ophonic.
Yeah, and I didn't look at the transcript, but I did look at the chapters and the summaries.
Those chapters are often like way off. Like I find that chapter function is not great.
But I mean, the thing,
or at least it doesn't cut to what I think is the essence of the discussion.
No, it doesn't. But it figures things out. It's getting better. But I do think it is better. Like I was looking at it and I was expecting the same old garbage, and I got way better garbage.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm not saying it's great.
Yeah. Better garbage is always good. I feel like the AI that we've gotten has definitely plateaued from my standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know about your experience, but there's clearly a plateau there. It's hit like a wall, and there's not much getting past that wall. Now it's cool because it got past a wall that was much bigger than we thought was in its way.
I mean, there's using like the curated AI that, you know, most people have access to. You know, like I was trying to generate the image for today's show, and, you know, it just won't let you get anywhere near the election, you know, and have image generation. Even if you're like don't show me a likeness of a candidate, you know, like it just refuses to try. But you see things like on, you know, Instagram and stuff of people who have access to things that don't have the guardrails put up, and like, you know, generating songs, or, you know, like where they actually use the bits to do the melody and the lyrics and all that. Like some, you can still tell that it's a large language model, and all the things you've always talked about, like it can't tell you how many R's are in strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff it is coming up with is like, well, you know, like,
Such as,
you know, like, I don't know. I was watching a guy is like, write a country hit song about a caveman liking beer or something like that, or sung by a caveman or about beer. And I'm assuming, and I could be wrong here, but like it's portrayed as that was the prompt, and it did this witty like thing that turned out to be pretty funny, almost in an earnest way. But, you know, maybe there was more prompts behind the scenes that really curated that whole song, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe I'm being naive there.
Well, that reminds me of when I was telling some people at an event that AI can't do jokes. Well, I said AI can't be funny. AI is not humorous. And it can do like one-off jokes because it has seen things before, but it doesn't understand humor and do humor. It has no concept of what humor is. And then they went and said, okay, well, let's ask you to joke. And they made like a knock-knock joke. And it was like, okay, that's a clever knock-knock joke, but it's not like a joke is not a scene. a joke is not like.
Yeah, I mean, I've got. I mean, the probably the best funny that I got out of it, but it wasn't it being funny. It was me setting up the scenario.
Yeah.
And it just executing on the scenario, which is funny. And that was back when Microsoft announced layoffs. I had to generate an email to my team about, you know, keeping morale up amidst layoffs. And then I had to revise it as a Gen Xer talking to his reports, who are all millennials and Zoomers. And then I told it to, like, double the slang. And, like, I kept amplifying it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it got... It was funny, like, you know, in the premise of, look at this, like, email using the millennial slang and the Zoomer slang, you know, but...
Yeah, it can get to, like, bad onion, right? Like, not nearly as clever as the onion, but, like, mm-hmm. a facsimile of what the onion might do as their draft. It can do that, which is why I think that, like... Writers are scared of it, not because it does the job that writers do, but because it does the first part, and writers are paid to do that first part as well as they are the other parts.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Like, distilling it into the best punchline. Like you can't tell, like, AI, like, I need a better punchline.
Yeah, tag this joke. Like, it's not... It's not going to be able to do that. It's not going to write a scene for you of any quality. It's going to write garbage. But that's okay, because that's what first drafts are, right? First drafts are garbage.
It's okay, except for, like, in the industries where AI can publish a bazillion schlocky Amazon ebooks.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay in the sense that that's okay from the perspective of as long as that's what you expect it to do. As long as you're, like, you know, I just want a starting point. But yeah, from the perspective of workers and people's livelihoods.
I think I saw an article. Yeah. Spotify is having a problem where there's AI-generated cover songs.
Huh.
And they're paying the royalties to the original artists and stuff. But they're just... It's SEO, right? You search for Freebird or Freebird cover, and you get six or seven Freebird covers that are just AI covers.
That makes me wonder how good it is, because I remember this was at least 4 or 5 years ago from what I can remember. But I was looking at some thread of some guy who would... He would take music, and then he would, you know, this was before ChatGPT got good and all that stuff, but he would make AI, after a certain period of time, continue and see what it did. He did, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit or, like, Queen or something like that. And it was really interesting to see what the AI came up with. That was probably before. I bet they're better now at like, making consistent things that sound like music. Because this stuff, it got really interesting for, like, 15 seconds, and then it turned into, like, mush after, like, 30.
So, I didn't click on it. There's just a Reddit headline there, a question kind of thing talking
about. Artist robbing scam on Spotify. AI covers. I mean, yeah, it would be interesting to listen to those.
Especially if you're doing it unscrupulously. You load the cover. Yeah. You load the song. You train it on the song, and you're like... Do it with more marimba, you know,
and it can do that too. And does it skirt around the search algorithm by doing that?
Well, like, I mean, the one that I clicked on, it seemed like these places don't get removed because they're actually paying royalties.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying Leonard Skinner.
Well, then what's wrong with that? I don't see what's wrong with that. Then if they're paying Leonard Skinner for the rights,
well, what's wrong? What's wrong with it is they're able to put up 50 covers of Freebird, and if you're a small indie artist, you know, the artists get fucked, right? The indie artists who want to cover Freebird, I guess.
Oh, I guess. So yes, the indie artists who want to cover the most popular songs.
Well, I'm right.
Yeah, like, because that's what the people who are going to do the machinery are going to do. They're going to do the popular songs as opposed to the weird ones that no one wants to cover, because the weird ones don't get anything. And here's the thing. AI is expensive. It's a lot more expensive than people are. A lot more, ultimately. Right now, it's cheap because people are offering it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Or mostly for free. But that's not going to last. And AI is really expensive and really energy intensive.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, it's going to be a problem that maybe solves itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, but I could also see where, like, we're going to have this, like, dark age of being awash of these AI, like,
well,
just AI bullshit for entertainment, you know?
Anytime change happens, there's always some adaptation, adaptation, and then there's backlash, and then there's, like, over-backlash, like, and over-correction, and everything eventually settles down. This is just... I like to think of it, because I'm a physics guy, I like to think of it as dampened oscillations. Because there's a mean, and you get this whack of energy, right? And it's going to go back and forth, but it's going to slowly... It's not going to just average out to the mean. It's going to slowly arrest at the mean because there's not enough energy being put into it to keep it flapping.
Mm-hmm.
So think of a spring or some flappy material that goes wah, 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 mm-hmm. and there's a center, and it's just right. going to go just damping it around, and it'll finally hit that edge.
All right. Our next beer is Belfius. Belfius. It's a Malagash Brewing Company, B-E-L-F-I-U-S.
B-E-L-F-I-U-S?
Yes. Saison blended with spontaneously fermented ale. Open cautiously. Contents under pressure.
Did you open it cautiously?
I did. Under pressure.
Dun, 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 dun. So.
It's bottled in 2017.
2017. Okay, cool. Is out of stock on Beer Universe.
Store. This was one of the ones that, we went on the Cellars tour at Allagash, and after the Cellars tour, you were able to shop from a different gift shop, which had some of the rarer, you know, these kinds of beers in them. So that's
cool. So this is a blend, they say, of Saison Spontaneous. It is... Uses Cool Ship. Did you mention that already? I'm sorry.
I didn't mention it.
Uses Cool Ship as their spontaneous. And then it ages in oak barrel for 3 years after inoculation with wild yeast and other microbiota. And the second blend is their Saison. And 6.7, like I said. It
smells good.
Very oaky.
Yeah. Oaky. There's, almost ooh, like
a, lots more information too if you went in.
There's almost like when I was smelling it, like one of the things, it almost seemed like it was strawberry or rhubarb or something in the nose. There's not, but that's one of the things I was picking up on.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about this because I think that this is interesting in the sense that I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, I wouldn't have guessed those hops, but it totally makes sense.
Okay.
And it's more that this is just the hops that would be used in this application. So there's nothing crazy here.
You want me to make guesses?
Yeah, I'm curious because I would never have guessed two of these hops. And if you would have told me what they were, I'd been like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
I mean, so like spontaneously fermented beers usually use like old hops.
They do say aged whole leaf hops, so this yeah. is, yeah.
And, you know, the
after. There are three hops that they mentioned.
I'm going to guess that they're, you know, continental Europe hops, you know, because they're going to be traditional for that. So let's go with Strussel Spalt.
Okay.
Is it on there?
No, it's not.
Okay. Let's go.
Think less continental, more older American.
Huh? Okay. Well... Then I'm going to have to go with...
not newer.
Yeah. No, older American. So, like... why am I drawing a blank right now?
It's tough, because like I said, there are two of these that like I would never have mentioned, not because I don't know them, but because they would never be something that I would consider mentioning.
There's one that I want to use that I can't think of the name of, and like,
all right, So the one that is the one that comes to mind the easiest is Cascade. But there's Northern Brewer and Bravo.
Okay.
So, like, those are two that I would never even think about mentioning if I was ever even asked about hops or anything. But also, from what I know of them, that makes sense.
Yeah, Northern Brewer is a good one. I mean, I thought Cascade was a little too easy guess. But once hops age, they all kind of come to the same point, you know, or less, you know.
A little cheesier.
Yeah, the differentiations of a lot of hops will contract when you're aging. Like, you're keeping them at room temperature for a couple of years to make your lambic hops.
It's definitely a funk on this guy. Not like a too much of a funk, but there's a funk, which is nice. It's a gold, definitely very golden color.
It's a little bit of a rindy smell, like a little bit of a wash rind or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that cheesiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The grains here, so there's a relatively expressive grain bill. It's got Pilsner malt, raw wheat, Allagash two-row malted barley blend. Who knows what's in that, right? Malted rye and oats.
So the spontaneous yeast that Allagash, where is it?
It's a pepperiness to that yeast, whatever it is.
Yeah, no, they kind of came up with their, I'm trying to remember the story right now.
They call their yeast wild, comma, saison. So I don't know what that means. I mean, clearly wild means, you know, they took some air and let it
go. That's what the cool ship is. Actually, we can post a picture. Actually, if you go on our Discord, Marinus on Discord was just up there. He's a brewer for a brewery.
Shout out to Marinus in
Eastern Pennsylvania. But he was just up in New England for vacation, and he toured Allagash, and he was in the cool ship room, and he had posted a picture of it. So you can go on our Discord, craftbeerradio.com/Discord, to get the invite link and check that out. It's probably about a month ago.
craftbeerradio.com/Discord.
I like this beer. It does have a little bit of that rindy cheese flavor, but it has a nice tartness to it. It has that rhubarb flavor to me. Like, if I was blind tasting, I would say that they added some, you know, like some rhubarb or, you know, some other garden vegetable like that, you know, to it.
Mm. So what I would say is,
shit,
it's pretty good. Not that it's shit. Like,
no.
Shit, it's good.
Shit, it's good. Yeah. No, I'm. That's, it's damn good.
We could taste it. It's a nice break from the, you know, big, sweet, powerful stuff.
So we don't have to drink the remaining four beers. Like, you know, we have the cocktail. So we have this one is an Imperial Stout that's a collaboration of Shoe Brew and Cellarworks.
Okay.
This is another beer from Florida. This is the Dark World from Magnanimous.
Okay.
And then we could do a contrasting thing. We can do two of the East End Gratitudes. We could do Bourbon Barrel and Rye Barrel.
You know, I think that since Shannon's in here, let's do the Gratitudes, and we can save the Imperial Styles, because I know that Shannon will like those.
And I know we like... So, like, if we do this, I kind of want... So I also have a rum barrel and a scotch barrel downstairs. No, we can't do those all in the same
show. Definitely can't.
But I kind of want to do them again soon.
Yeah,
that kind of thing, so...
So I bet Shannon would have loved
the anger chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she's there. She can go get it tonight.
tell her to get it because, you know, she'll love it.
Tell her.
I'm looking at some of the post-show descriptions, looking at the thing that you, the calendar of the future. I should stop looking at that so that I can be prepared for that
later. Yeah, that's just something I saw on Reddit. It's futurism stuff,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Something in the early 2000s.
The early 2000s, they made a calendar. And I just see some pictures. I haven't looked at anything other than what the dates are. So it'd be cool to go over that and
yeah,
what has actually happened. I look forward to that. On the post show, everybody. The post show. But this is good.
It's super good.
Yeah, and this is... So... If I think of the question of what order should we do the beers in, this obviously wouldn't generally come after an Imperial Stout, but I think it works really well after an Imperial Stout.
Definitely a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
A palate scrubber.
Mm-hmm.
Gets all that marshmallow and walnut away.
So I think it's something to consider in the future for when we do beers is to do more mixing up than you might expect.
It really depends on how... tart, how big the sour
beers
are.
That's right. Because if this was a really subtle beer, then there might have been stuff lost.
Yeah,
and we never know.
It's really hard to know what the volume knob is set to on those beers.
So therein lies our problem. There's clearly that this works, but
it won't always work.
It won't always work.
And it would be like imagine like a beer you would enjoy as much as the Charlie that we had last time, but we couldn't taste it because we did it in the wrong order.
Yes, that would suck.
So I think you have to go with the law of averages and just do the prescribed order just to maximize your chances of enjoying
it. Or you just play around a bit and you take what you get.
Yeah, I have a FOMO of drinking the beer in the wrong order and like not tasting how awesome that table beer was. But
we didn't.
Yeah.
You have fear of missing out on something you didn't miss out on. So that's weird that you have FOMO. You have a... What was the thing that Leon did? They... YBLA?
Okay.
You better look out. instead of... instead of YOLO... No, they had YOLO, but it was you ought to look out instead of...
Okay.
You only live once. They were like, oh no, careful. Don't do that. Look out for yourself.
There's the meme thing. If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Yeah.
And it's always like someone hurting themselves, you know,
yeah.
Hold my beer kind of thing.
I think that's true. Like, because I think it's absolutely true. I feel like I don't need to explain it, actually. After I said because, I was like, I don't really need to explain that. That sort of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen... We didn't talk about this last time, I don't think. I think it came out after. Have you seen Deadpool and Wolverine?
Yes, I have.
I did, too. I took Max to see it. It was a nice time.
It was the kind of movie that I think I enjoyed. And I think anyone who has been on some level interested in superhero movies over the past 20 years will enjoy it. And anybody who hasn't will be fucking lost and think it's ridiculous and stupid.
There's so much I don't know about the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. So like when I saw the Deadpool core, I thought they were making fun of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, you know, like I didn't realize it was a thing. I thought they were making, you know, like there's just, I find that, I mean...
Well, it is a thing, but I think the Spider-Man thing was a thing first. And like, in the same way, Deadpool was sort of a parody of that.
Okay.
So I do think that it's...
So thinking that that's the joke is just a second-level extrapolation of the
joke. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that is kind of the joke, is that, oh, you know, look at how many universes there are. There are so many Deadpools. And Deadpool's just like, can we just stop? This is ridiculous already. This is just... over. And that's what Deadpool was great at, was being like, okay, we've done all this before. And let's revel in it and then like promise to do better. that was my like takeaway, was them just sort of, okay, let's just like, let's say everything. And one of my favorite lines is when he brings, he tells Wolverine, "Welcome to the MCU. You're joining in at a very low point, by the way."
It did seem like they went out of their way to be the crudest thing ever to come out of a Disney property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seemed like that was intentional.
Oh, that was certainly intentional.
Yeah. And it was...
But not in, like, we're showing boobies and stuff. It was just language and innuendo. Oh,
the imagery of, you know, choking on balls.
And yes, and, but that was all language. They didn't actually show people choking on balls. Yeah. And then they did lots of blood, but that's not here or there as far as I'm concerned.
No, it was the description of sexual acts that, it was just like...
All the stuff that an 8-year-old would be like, what? And, you know, you don't have an 8-year-old, but you do have 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And
like, I don't know if he like, did he get the, I'm going to like,
but
I'm gonna,
he's I'm old gonna, enough that he would be embarrassed to ask you.
Like, what was the line that, Professor X's sister's like something about flicking her bean while she,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There was that one. There was the choking on the balls one. And there was one other one. Oh,
there was a pegging line.
Yeah. I'm not new to pegging, but Disney is.
Yeah, no, it was fun, but it's also like, if you aren't somebody who watches superhero movies and like knows what the characters are, then this is going to be just.
I didn't think they gave Hugh Jackman enough time to play the straight man.
I disagree. No, I think like, that they
I thought
gave,
they could have.
Given... What I really liked about it is as a story, it gave everyone an arc. It gave everyone something to do. It wasn't just, oh, you're in a cameo for one scene, except for a few things, like the thing with Chris Evans was, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling anything, but Chris Evans is in it. And the thing they do with him is very clever, and they use a cameo, I think, in a very, you know, funny way. But
and then the after the credit scene, like, ties it all together.
Yeah, the after the credit scene is a nice, is a nice callback. The midpoint, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying the midpoint of the story, there are a bunch of characters from older properties that show up. And what's nice about them is that those aren't Chris Evans cameos. Those all have characters that go through arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see that they're doing that at least. They're at least... doing the basics of telling stories.
Right.
As opposed instead to like, just...
We'll sell a ticket because Wesley Snipes is on
the
screen.
Yes. What The Flash did. I don't know if you saw The Flash, and good on you if you didn't. But they did this thing at the end where they showed a whole bunch of, like, DC possible movies. They showed a Superman where it was Nick Cage as Superman because that was, like, rumored he was fighting a spider because that's the story that everyone tells. And it's like... only a small percentage of people are going to get that. Mm-hmm. And the way they did it was also cheap and just not as fulfilling as what they did with Chris Evans, which was quick, but still there was a cleverness to it that wasn't there with that kind of stuff that they did. They did a Christopher Reeve and whoever played Supergirl, just a very quick shot of them. They did all these things to show, hey, remember.
Yeah.
And not anything besides remember.
That was kind of your complaint about Ready Player One, right?
Yes.
Like, I haven't seen it yet, mostly because of your negative poo-poo on it. I've passed by it a couple
times. You're not
going
to be enlightened or, like, you're not going to be entertained by it. You're just going to be mad at it.
Yeah, so I've skipped it a couple times. I did just watch the Furiosa.
How was movie. That?
It's not Fury Road. The budget seems cut. I think
it's still George Romero, right? It's still
it's good, but
I've never been a Mad Max guy. The only one I've seen was Fury Road, and I thought Fury Road was great.
Fury Road was great. This one's not great. It seemed a little too. We have to hit the beats of, you know. you know, we have to fan serve the Fury Road fans, which is annoying, right? Because like it's practically a one film property. Like, how many people remember the plot of Beyond Thunderdome? You know, like
I never saw it. I know Tina Turner's in it, and I remember there's a very funny Mystery Science Theater joke about Thunderdome, which is that, you know, if you're ever in a conversation and someone somehow mentions the movie Beyond Thunderdome, then you say, guys, can't we just get Beyond Thunderdome?
Nice. The movie is basically sets up Furiosa, like every part of it, you know, it doesn't leave anything to be assumed. Mm-hmm. You know, it just spells it all out. It's warring tribes. There's another tribe that wasn't in Fury Road. The practical effects, they just didn't spend as much time with the battle wagon, war wagons, and the guys on sticks. Mm. And then they called back, like there was a flashback to like the guy with the guitar in front of the speakers. No. Like just a flash, like a quick flash to it. You know, it's like, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, like, yeah, I think part of the fun of Fury Road was like, oh, they did that all practically, and I can tell. Like, there's not, you know, whatever effects in here are just removing stuff from the back, you know, removing stuff from the background and putting in stock things just on the edge, as opposed to what's actually in front of your eyes. So.
Yeah.
Which is the way that I think CGI is well used, because how often are you going to get the perfect shot, whereas you can get part of the perfect shot and you just fill in the rest, which is not in useful information with enough that it just
as long as up. Enough of your central vision is practical, you could have some fake cars on the periphery.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So this is the Bourbon Barrel Aged Gratitude from East End Brewing Company, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Beer pours very clear.
It's, I forget, kind of when rubbish. We had the brewer on as a guest, and he didn't want to do any of his own beer, which was, I think, the right move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott. I've been friends with Scott before the podcast. I thought it was an honor to help him brew, because I was home brewer, and I forget exactly how we initially like started communicating, but he invited me down to brew with him a day. And it was hijinks, but he also did not hesitate to throw me into the hot after the brew kettle with a scrubby and the barkeeper's friend.
Good on
to
him.
Scrub out the brew kettle.
Good on him. I think that's great, because it's the, you know, I'm inviting you to come in and take on, but also if you want to actually do it, let's go.
Yeah, no. And he sent me in the hot brew kettle. I cleaned kegs, and there was this was early days where like 5 gallons of beer mattered, kind of thing, or at least he thought they mattered. So like he had a batch of the stout, and he had 14 barrel fermenters and 7.5 barrel fermenters. And when he brewed a stout, he had about 8 barrels of wort of high enough gravity. So instead of pouring the half barrel down the drain, he did the primary fermentation in a keg, and now that the primary was done in the 7.5, there was enough headspace that he could drain this keg into it, right? So we were coming up with this whole rigmarole of like a chain hoist to lift the keg up, and we had this hose on the bottom of the fermenter, and he had me hold the hose up higher than the top of the fermenter, so when we open the valve, it should equalize, right? He forgot to open the vent at the top, so the whole thing was under pressure. So I'm Statue of Liberty beer fountain, stout fountain, and made quite the mess. I probably spilled like at least 3 of those 5 gallons we were trying to save.
But at least you got 2. On East End Brewing, if you go to eastendbrewing.com/gratitude, they have this whole list of the definitive gratitude guide. And so I'm looking up the one that we're doing now, and I can see that because it's Red or Raven, and this is barrel aged. This is 2014, I assume.
No, I don't know. So I don't know if that's completely up to date. When they started doing the bottles.
Oh, it's up to 2022.
When they started doing the bottles, they, the very first one in 2005 was red wax. And then they did Roy G. Biv with the wax colors. And each one had a different bird on it. And then
after, and this is maybe 2021?
It could be.
Because 2021, I see Cannes finally. And Raven, new label, rye barrel, age sticker on label, date on bottom. So I see bourbon barrel age here. I do see a date on the bottom.
Well, that's probably the date then.
And it says 02/14/29.
20, wow, it's from the future.
Oh, no, 23.
23.
It says 23.
From the future. So,
this was not updated, unfortunately.
They were selling a pack last February. February of 23, I think, is when I got this, where it was a six-pack, and it was regular scotch, bourbon, rye. Oh. Regular scotch, bourbon, rye, rum, and then their wheat wine, which is instead of gratitude, it's, I think it's called Hey Thanks. So
it was always clever. Scott was, and is, I guess I should say, yeah. Shouldn't say like that. Scott is always clever. Oh. Gratitude.
So we haven't talked about this one at all. I'm halfway through it.
Oh yeah, I haven't even, I'm just smelling it.
It's
lots of like caramel with carbonation.
Yeah, it's not like,
that's what I get.
Without contrasting like a clean, barrel aged gratitude, it doesn't really scream, hey, I'm a bourbon barrel.
Ooh. It's more oaky than I expected.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. It has almost the character you might expect if it was like fresh American oak blended way down so it wasn't too strong, but
it's, I mean, pretty strong.
No, fresh American oak is obscenely strong.
Yeah.
So to make it like even this good, it has to be blended way out. But yeah, I didn't pick up on the oaky part till you mentioned it.
Yeah, there's a lot of oak here.
Did they say like what kind of bourbon they use for the bourbon barrels? I know it's not, might not be this vintage, but like for any of the ones that say a bourbon barrel sticker, does it say what kind?
I do not see. I'm looking for various different things. I don't.
My recollection says Willett, but that could just be wrong.
There is that kind of spiciness you associate with bourbon that comes through too.
It definitely has.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I mentioned how like it does, it's not screaming bourbon barrel beer, but it is substantial. It is more than barley wine, you know. And I'm enjoying it quite a bit. But yeah, it's like not.
I'm less so.
Okay.
To be fair.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to drive home, so I'm allowed to enjoy more.
You are. This is true. To me, it's, yeah, I'm questioning whether it's worth my sobriety, because I don't even have at least another sip of it, yeah. But at just 11 plus percent,
put it in there and I'll drink it later.
There's a lot here, and I feel like that, especially with the big oak, I'm kind of losing the other flavors that I might get.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of less inclined to continue on this one because it's just a lot as, I don't know, it doesn't quite, yeah, there's not enough reason for me to keep drinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't say it's a bad beer by any stretch of the imagination, but it reminds me a lot of the Co-Star. There were things that were not calling to me, and then we're a little bit not like a little bit rubbing against the grain.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, rubbing my fur backwards.
Let's try the rye next.
Let's do it.
Which means next time we'll have scotch and rum.
Okay. Interesting to see how those would be different. You'd think one would be very peaty and one would be more sweet. Just out of my mind.
Yeah, that's you'd expect think. Kind of that sugar cane kind of flavor out of the rum barrel. It'll give you a lighter pour so you don't have to commit too hard, and you can always have more.
This is a different aroma to it. This is the rye barrel aged. This rum is a little more cutting.
The rye barrel?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as like giant oak. It seems a little sharper. But, you know, rye is kind of that more spicier grain, so you'd expect something like that. I still have a big head on mine, which is, I'm smelling like beer foam, you know, kind of that.
I'm not smelling anything off. I'm not smelling any plasticky notes. Okay, I detect something that could be called acetone, but it was not like direct. Like I had to search a little bit for it.
There's booziness. I'm getting booziness, but nothing that's kind of fusely or anything like hot, extra hot.
Nothing that screams for sure. If there's anything you have to look for, which means it's probably you're just overinterpreting.
Yeah, this one has a more earthy. Comparing the two, this one's definitely less oaky, more earthy.
Yeah, this one doesn't. At least the initial taste doesn't strike me in the same way. It doesn't have that sharpness, that that confused.
It actually seems like it has less body than the last one.
It does. Which at 11.4, who cares? Kind of because it's still got that.
Oh, it's still
viscosity.
Yeah, it just a purely contrasting point of view. There's actually a. Neat, almost like a nuttiness, like a nutty sweetness to this.
Yeah, I agree that there's... I think the sharpness may really be really helping it. The sharpness of the rye, maybe cutting off some flavors that go off to me and is restraining the beer in a sense, which you kind of have to do when you make a beer with this kind of grain label. In this kind of, you know.
I mean, the thing is ridiculous barley.
Yeah.
And now we're sticking it in a barrel that has rye whiskey in the pours, where the last one had, you know, bourbon, which is half corn.
Yeah.
So that sweetness really probably builds. Like, if you're talking about the...
Makes me wonder what the rum is going to taste like, because, that sweetness does kind of build.
I think... I mean, I've had these like in tasters at the brewery, like during Gratitude Day, and the rum one was pretty interesting. Like, I don't have a clear enough recollection to describe what I had, but it was distinct and I liked it quite a bit. I think I remember the Scotch one as being the most subtle one then, but I don't know.
I can see that a Scotch would be subtle. With this kind of grain bill, you might lose some of the peatiness and some of the extra smokiness.
Well, I mean, Scotch barrels are also used for a very long time, 20 years sometimes, 30 years.
So they lose a lot of the, the Scotch.
They get more neutral. So when you put a beer in them, a bourbon barrel has been used one time for whiskey.
Right,
so there's tons of oak left in it, and everything's lively. Where the Scotch...
All those aromatic compounds, right.
I mean, the Scotch generally don't stop using a barrel until it just doesn't work for them anymore, you know.
That's true. So that would mean you would expect the Scotch from that... If you were solely going on that, you'd expect the Scotch to be more subtle, but have sort of smoky undertones. You'd have
20 years of peat smoked malt that's lived in it, so you'd hope some of that would carry through.
I like this one better. I really do. And I think this is...
This one's more... It's less heavy-handed.
Yeah.
This one's nuanced, I guess. Even though at this point in the show, it's really
big. It's still a really big beer at 11.4%. It's still got a lot of flavor to it. It's got a lot of push to it. Like this, after most of these things would still make an impression even after a big another big beer. But in comparison to the one we just had, mm-hmm. yeah, it's more subdued. It's more focused.
Yeah, I agree.
Hmm. Oh, here we go.
Time to rank.
Time to rank. Well, yeah, you go first because I went first last time.
Okay, my number one.
Include the cocktail.
Include the cocktail. Hmm, that's hard. It's apples and it's limes and barley. How do you compare limes versus barley?
I don't know. How do you do it? I know how I do it.
Okay. All right. I have a hard time I didn't dislike the daiquiri, but I have a hard time putting it in front of any of the beers on the CBR podcast, so I will put the daiquiri in last place.
Fair enough.
And then I will put the... just... four beers then?
There were five.
Or five. They're right.
Then we're taking a picture. So
yeah, they're all right there.
So it'll last longer.
Yeah. I'm going to put the Co-Star in last place. I thought it was a fine Oktoberfest. It probably could be a little bit refined, maybe a little more malty, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. Competition it was up against tonight is stout and barley wine and sour. So, like I... flipped the meaning of stout there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Let's put the bourbon barrel aged East End in fourth place. Let's put the rye barrel in third place. All the things we just talked about. The rye barrel was less heavy handed and it was just more enjoyable. I like them both though. And then the top seat. Do I go with the Rocky Road marshmallow walnut beer, or do I go with that sour beer? They're both really, really good.
They're both a cut above.
Yes. I think I'm going to go with how they're sitting there. I'm going to put the Angry Chair in second place and the Allagash in first place.
Okay.
It could be a toss-up. Depends. Do you want dessert beer, or do you want a delicious sour? And tonight, delicious sour wins by a hair.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Wanted to get a little Tommy Wiseau in there. Okay, so I'm going to arrange my guys.
It's like he's playing a shell game over there.
All right.
He's got it.
I've got it. Nailed it. All right. In last place, because the only one I poured out, mm-hmm. it's going to be the Gratitude. The Bourbon Barrel Age Gratitude. It was the only one I poured out. It didn't strike my fancy. Next, I'm going to put the daiquiri. I've made better daiquiris. What can I say?
I gave you crappy lime juice. Kind of did.
I mean... yeah, that's true. The limes were kind of old, but that doesn't mean, I don't know. It wasn't the best daiquiri in the world. It's still a classic, but like I've made better daiquiris for sure.
And I gave you crappy rum too. I mean, I set you up for failure.
Did the best I could, I swear. Next would be the Co-Star Brewing, because I found that was also like there was a sharpness there, like the bourbon barrel that was putting me off a bit. But yeah, next is going to be this rye barrel aged Gratitude that we're drinking right now. This is good. This has a lot to go for it. So does the Belfius, which I think that the Belfius and the Angry Chair were both, like I said, a cut above. They were on another level from the rest. But I think that I would go for the Zerg beer before the Belfie. So I'm sort of the opposite of you in that regard. All right, marry, fuck, kill.
Okay. Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to marry the Belfius. I'm going to fuck the Rocky Road from Angry Chair. And I'm going to kill...
the Daiquiri.
I've got a dozen place. I don't know.
That's what I would do.
Okay, I'll kill the Daiquiri.
Then I would do the same thing. I would do the exact same thing. Mostly because I think that, like I said, I've made better daiquiris before, and so... That was not a great daiquiri. But, so I feel like, yeah, kill that. I want to do better. Delete that clone that had problems with it. All right. So, yeah, that's it. This is a show without Shannon. So you see what, you know, the kind of,
not the crucifix.
The kind of,
how much better she makes.
How much better she makes us for sure.
All right, thanks everyone for listening, and tune in to the post show. We're going to talk about futurism and more things.